Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to MV Talk Radio's broadcast of February 11th, 2015. My name is Mike McCoy, and Deanna Reeder will be joining us shortly to discuss civic affairs in Moreno Valley. You can catch us as a podcast by going to our internet site at blogtalkradio.com. In the search box, enter MV City Talk and navigate to our show or any archived show from the past. You are welcome to phone us directly and be on the show at 946-929-0610 and follow the instructions given by the automated operator, or email Deanna for help. You may email us at any time at stopvotesforsale@gmail.com, and Deanna will do her best to respond to your questions. Thank you all for listening in. Now let's get started. Hi, Deanna. How are you this evening?
I'm fine. How are you?
We're doing pretty good here. And I understand that you have some recap and highlights from yesterday's council meeting to give to our listeners. What would you like to discuss? You got the mic.
It was kind of an interesting meeting. The most interesting thing at the meeting was that Jesse Molina asked the audience members to be respectful of all the speakers when they came up, and he has never done that before. So I would guess that what I said last week actually hit home. And so, as a matter of fact, I think this was the first meeting where there was absolutely no outburst whatsoever to any of the speakers at all during the meeting.
How about the name-calling and things that I witnessed at the last study session?
Nope. Didn't happen.
Good.
The only thing on the not-on-agenda comments, I brought up, you know, the lawsuit, you know, Kimbrough versus, you know, Kimbrough et al., which is, of course, Basil Kimbrough, Rating Hires, and myself, because on Facebook there were some posts that the three of us had gotten some money out of that, and Chris Baca had made the comment last week that the city was in a hurry to settle it, and he said that George Price was insisting on them settling. Of course, is ridiculous because, number one, the lawsuit was between us and Dr. Gutierrez. It did not include the city. The only thing the city actually did was pay for what Gutierrez was responsible for. That's all. Gutierrez asked him if they would pay his attorney's fees. They said yes. He came back and asked him if they would. The city would pay our attorney's fees, and they agreed to do that as well. But we specifically did not sue the city, nor did we ask the city for any money. So on our end, it would not have cost the taxpayers anything. That is not what we were trying to do. And of course, Baca backpedaled at this last meeting and said, well, it was only because there was only two of them that voted on it because the rest of them weren't there. And that's what he insisted on. But I don't remember him insisting on that at a meeting. So, and of course, I said, you know, if he knew anything from closed session, they needed to do a investigation as to who disclosed any closed session material. And of course, he backpedaled. So they said something about me, and I think Palmieri said her normal. I don't know. I think her whole thing is everyone else lies but her. I don't think she has.
I can understand that. I know. I've been at the receiving end of such claims.
I would say actually all the speakers were very respectful. I mean, they think they mentioned my name, but they actually didn't do it in the obnoxious manner that they normally do it. So,
well, that would have been an interesting meeting to attend and to witness, because we do need to have better behavior. And it only applies, I think, to a few people. Most everyone that goes up there is very polite and respectful and follows the quorum. So good job, Deanna. I think you had a lot to do with that from what you said in the previous meeting.
I think it struck a chord with them. Okay, now that was what I was going to say.
You mentioned in our discussion prior to this podcast, that there was a study that's being proposed for Redlands Boulevard, whether it could or could not be a truck route south of the 60 freeway, I suppose down to Alessandra, right through the heart of the little community of Marino. What are your thoughts about the viability of such a survey? And I ask that in light of some other surveys that have been taken in the last year or two that seem to be very biased. Somebody has a lot of money to send folks around door to door to garner survey questions that are kind of like they push people into agreeing with something they may not really agree with. What do you think?
Well, this one is, it's not actually a survey. It's going to be a study. And this study will be the beginning of any improvements that are made to the Redlands ramps, you know, the bridge and such. And some people might not recall this, but it was during the Skechers project that they said that Skechers would not be able to use Redlands, and that wasn't going to be for truck traffic. Redlands was going to be for passenger traffic south of the SR-60. And previously, it was a truck route between the 60 and Alessandro. They took that portion out.
That's good.
And I believe it was actually in conjunction with the lawsuit. That was one of the mitigation. I think it had to do with the actual lawsuit about the Skechers project. That was one of the things that came out of it. I'm not 100% sure about that. I actually have to call one of them and make sure about that. But they told people, you know, we're not going to let trucks on that. Okay, that's fine, except now they're doing a study. So what I wanted to know is, when they do this study, are they studying it to make Redlands back into a truck route all the way to Alessandro? And they just lied to people? You know, what are they going to tell the people that are doing this study? So I told them at the meeting that I wanted the communication between the city and whatever company was going to do this study. So I don't want them to tell the people this is not going to be a truck route when they're going to ask for a study and possibly tell them during the study that, you know, it really is going to be a truck route. We just did that for, you know, to make people better, you know, temporarily.
I wonder who made the inquiry with city staff to see if this could get on the agenda and to start the study. Wonder who did it.
You know what? It came from Public Works Department, so it came from Ahmad Ansari, so I don't know who was doing what, but, of course, Theodore is what is supposed to be used for the truck traffic, particularly the Skechers trucks are mandated to use, you know, the Theodore on and off ramps. But, of course, there's a problem with that. So,
well, yeah, about 3 or 4 days ago. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, a truck driver with a backhoe or other rig on the back of his flatbed must have not been paying attention, and he crashed into the Theodore overpass going westbound. Yeah, and he took out 2 girders and a number of pieces of large concrete chunks that fell on cars, and pretty much shut down Theodore. Although I went by there today, and I did not see any warning signs, and I wonder if it's been fixed already, because it's very important for Skechers trucks to use that. Or did you know if they're using any detours that maybe go down to Alessandro right now? I forget where Theodore goes southward. I think it does go to Alessandro. Did you have any other news on that, or a timeline, or when it will be fixed, or anything?
You know what? There was... they were sending Caltrans out there, and they were closing off the freeway so Caltrans could get underneath there and look at it really good. And then they were going to tell us what exactly it was going to take and how long it was going to be unusable. And I don't know if we, I don't remember reading exactly what it was, but it seemed like something said months, but that was before they surveyed it to see what it was going to need.
Well then, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned and we'll find out what's going to happen with our Theodore overpass. Deanna,
yeah.
You have heard more about this early warning system than some of us listeners and myself. So what's that all about? Does that to do with the earthquakes or other civil disasters of some kind? What's that all about?
Well, any kind of disasters. I mean, you know, we've had flooding here in Moreno Valley. Obviously, we know that there's going to be future earthquakes. Any kind of emergencies, what this system does is, you know, people that have unlisted numbers, the city would be able to obtain the phone numbers of everybody, whether they were listed or unlisted. And I had a concern with who would have access to that information. I think an early warning system is good because they would primarily be using the phone because, you know, not everybody has a smartphone, so, you know, or they're maybe en route versus being on, you know, their computer at that particular time. There are a lot of people with smartphones that, you know, instant computer, but a lot of us do not have a smartphone, so we don't have that. So this was for them to be able to get those numbers, and I had a concern as to who would have access to those numbers, and I was assured that it was only going to be the police department and the fire department and the company that actually was doing the warning, and that company was properly insured and bonded, and so it wasn't going to be something where, you know, any employee could go look at unlisted numbers and use it or get it for someone else that might want it. So I was satisfied that it would be, you know, in most people's benefits to get a warning early if there was some kind of disaster.
Yes, it would be one of those things where we might have to give up some security and some data in order to be safer during a disaster. However, I might point out that the accumulation of cell phone numbers and unlisted numbers is highly desirable by the marketing people in our country. And there are services that they already employ to go through and get as many of these numbers as they can. I've found out that. So let's just be careful that there's maybe in this, you know, ordinance or agreement or whatever it is, that under no circumstances can the police or fire be persuaded or, you know, goaded into giving up some of this data to raise some money or something like that, because they will be hounded by these marketers to try to get that information. You also told us that the Whitney Solar contract with the city looked pretty good. Could you tell us a little more about that and what happened at the meeting?
Well, this contract that was on the agenda this time actually had a price in there. And, you know, the first contract, I didn't know this at the time, but the contract actually did go to the utilities commission that the city set up. But pretty much they were all Tom Owings' picks, except for
not so good.
Pete Bleckert. So Pete Bleckert was actually the only person that voted no on the contract, which the first contract that didn't have a price on there, I mean, nobody should have voted yes. I mean, you know, that's a blank check. Are you kidding me?
A blank check, that's what I was going to say.
So this particular contract, it did have a price. It was a reasonable price, and as a matter of fact, it's less than what we are currently paying for the solar that we're getting. So I thought that was pretty good. So I was satisfied with that, and pretty much my biggest concern was that there was also a very big article in the paper yesterday. And one of the names on the paper was also one that was associated with this Whitney Solar. So I felt a little better because obviously if they had a part in, you know, one of the two largest solar projects in the entire world, that they probably had a little more track record than what the what I had read in the staff report. So actually, I was a little more comfortable after that as well.
That's very good points, and I agree with you about the comfort level due to their experience in this growing field. I was going to mention, Deanna, that I was still kind of concerned about some comments that the mayor, Molina, made last time at the study session when he kind of tried to shoot down business parks. He and I have a discussion going back and forth about their viability as an alternative to warehouses. And he mentioned that, you know, he's driven around and everything, and he's seen a lot of them there, a lot of vacancies supposedly and closed down, empty lots. And he said that he just made a general comment. He wasn't saying about Moreno Valley, but he looked around the Inland Empire. And I would just like to propose a rebuttal that mayor needs to look around at warehouses too, and you'll find the same thing, that many have been closed, many have never opened, many have never been occupied. And I drove all through Paris last weekend in Reno Valley and most of Riverside and the March JPA, and especially in the area around Harvey Knox Boulevard, just west of 215. I mean, it's a dead zone. There are so many empty warehouses over there. So in lack of a survey, a real strong survey that I'm aware of how many vacancies there are around our area, I'll just let him know that, you know, he shouldn't be picking on business parks unless he has some facts to back it up. Now, Deanna, you had mentioned that you're following closely with the MOU process that the city's going through with some of the employee associations. Do you mind bringing us up to date on that tonight?
Well, you know, that was actually a really interesting one because this particular MOU is with the management employees. Not the executive management, which is, you know, the Michelle Dawson, the Tom DeSantis, the Ahmad Ansari, you know, all the people that are there at the city council meetings. Those are what are considered the executive management, and this does not include them. And it also does not include the at-will employees, because what they did right before they started laying off and firing people is Michelle Dawson changed most of the upper management people that are underneath the executive management to at-will, which means that she doesn't need a reason to fire them, which is how they fired, you know, several of these people.
How nice.
Yeah.
You give
but
up
every,
your rights if you have any.
That is in this management association, they have what is called an agency shop. And what the effect of it is anybody that doesn't belong to the association or union, if they don't voluntarily pay union dues, then the union can force them to pay an agency shop fee, which is equal to the union dues, unless they have a religious something that would keep them from joining a union, and in that case, they could pay the amount that they would pay to union dues to a charity. But they would have to pay it to somebody if they weren't going to pay it to the union, so it's not like they could get out of paying it. And currently, there's only 7 of these management employees that are subject to this that aren't paying it. So this whole thing was to force these people to pay either to join the association and pay the, you know, union dues, or pay the union dues without belonging to it, or, you know, for religious reasons, they could just make a donation to something else. I have personally never belonged to a union. I've never worked for a union. I've never been represented by a union. And so I was, you know, if someone told me, oh, you have to pay us, and I didn't think I was getting anything for my money, I would be a little bit rebuffed there. So the union association could actually have a vote, and if at least 51% of the members vote that they're going to be an agency shop. They could force these people to do that, but they didn't take a vote. If 30% of them say they want to vote, then they have to vote. And if 51% or more vote yes, then this is what becomes. And there's nothing the city can actually do to stop that. The city must take out the dues because there's some law or other. However, what they did was they had over 50% vote, or they had over 50% sign cards that they wanted to vote, but they didn't actually take a vote. And I had to say that, you know what, if they really want this, I mean, how much would it cost to do a vote with just the city employees? It's not like you need the county register of voters. I pretty much... They should vote. My husband did work for the union. He's retired from it and has been for a while. And, you know, that's his livelihood was, you know, as a union employee and then working for it. And, you know, he has lots of good things to say about it. But in my work history, I have never belonged to one, never represented by one. And but I did work at some places. Well, I was management, so I didn't belong to it, but I did work for some places where, you know, the people underneath me belonged to it. But
maybe in the future, because I think this is probably going to drag on, maybe we should have a debate, 10 minutes each or something, between the supporters of the new MOU, if there's going to be one, and some people who are opposed to it, and have some little bit of union education as part of that. So that people learn more about being pro-union or anti-union or doesn't matter.
Well, basically, this did not pass. There were four no's and only one yes on this. So
they continue on with the existing MOU, I guess.
If the city, association wants this, they're going to actually have to go through the process of voting, which I think is only right. I mean, you know, it's similar to, you know, taxation without representation. You know, we all didn't want the utility tax, but some people voted for it, some people didn't. Well, the majority voted for it, it passed. So, but everyone gets their say. So I just think, you know what, they just need to have their vote and make it clear that's what it is.
Okay. What's going on with this program? Let's Talk MoVal. I got a notice about it, and you must have done some research. So what did you find out for us? You seem to like it.
Well, you know what, it's got good, and I've got some concerns with it, and it just went live yesterday, or well, I think people could sign on it after the meeting yesterday. They didn't actually allow anybody to do it. When you go on to the city's website, it automatically asks you to sign on to it. They have a lot of email addresses that they've accumulated. You know, people have, you know, add me to the list, keep me informed on this. So I think they said they have about 19,000 email addresses of people that communicate with the city. So whenever you log on to the city's website, there's this little thing that asks you to sign up. So I went ahead and signed up today just to see what it really did. You know, I took a couple.
I see the email.
So I took a couple of their surveys. You saw what email? Oh, wait, my email to you or a different one?
No, the one that came from the city to me. I'm already on some list, so.
Okay.
From Chana Palau. So.
Well, no, and it asked me if I wanted to send emails to everyone that I knew, and I disinclined to do that. I will tell people about it in my emails to the people I know, but it's not something I would send everybody on my email list. Concerns, because like anything else, information is good. You can ask questions and get answers. It apparently is a lot like Facebook, and that's one of the I guess, preferred media. So, you know, you have different people making comments, but you and I both know what happens on Facebook and people comment. They're not always nice. And so I'm
or
not sure
accurate.
How it's going to work out. So I didn't sign up as Facebook. I only signed up under my email address. And there's some things that you can click on to... I wasn't sure what it was, but I found that, you know, one of the things I could click on was me. And I thought, okay, because I really wasn't sure how much of the information was going to be public. But the other thing that I had a concern with, and we all know a particular developer that, you know, pays for whatever he wants. You know, he's paid for busloads of people to be places and, you know, thousands of people to walk. You know, what's to stop him?
I know where
from
you're taking this.
Up 200 or 300 email addresses under different names and go on there, because one of the first questions they asked about is what people wanted for the NASAN corridor. So I can just see that morphing into what do you want to see changed in the general plan. And, of course, he can pay thousands of people to, you know, give his idea of the general plan. So I can just see this being abused. You know, information exchange is good, but information control or information manipulation is not good. And I can see this very, very possible way of doing that. So I, of course, voiced those concerns to the city council as well.
Thank you, Deanna.
We better get to the most important thing that happened.
Let's first do some housekeeping items, if you don't mind. We'll just make sure we're having another podcast. Is that the case on the 18th?
Yes, we are.
Okay. And did you have any other meetings of importance you wanted to mention? And after that, go ahead with your final thoughts then on the meeting last night.
Well, next week is a study session, and there is only one item on the agenda. And that is council prioritizations for the 2015 to 2017 years. I didn't have enough time to open the attachments because that was just posted tonight. But, of course, the real biggie at last night's city council meeting was the announcement of the lawsuit, the Brady and Schneider versus, you know, the city, and the city settled it by paying each of those parties $600,000 apiece.
And I saw the article in the paper or on the Press Enterprise website about it, and this is really a lot of money to be putting out in lawsuit settlements. What do you think is going to happen now as a response to that?
Well, you know what, the truth is, I was actually hoping this would go to court, and I was really hoping it would go to court so that the city could actually be seen for what it is. I really wanted to see.
Yeah, you could call witnesses and ask questions and all kind of fun stuff.
No, they have been deposing people. They have. So
okay.
They have, yes, they have been doing that.
Enough.
They've posing people for a while now, including city employees. Yes, they have. So I can tell you, no way the city would have paid $1.2 million to two people, even if that was the attorney's fees, unless they knew they were going to lose in court and look really bad doing it.
I see you there on the article characterized
not,
as a council critic. So that's what you said.
You know, that is just, yeah. Well, council, they've called me lots of different things on there. Whatever. you know what? I mean, because Imran did call me today, and, you know, and I think his focus at first was I outraged at the amount. And you know what? To be honest, I don't like to be for people to sue just to get money, but you know what? When someone is righteously wronged in the way that these people were, I can't blame them for suing, and they deserve to win. I'm not thrilled that the taxpayers are picking up the tab, but you know what? It really would have been an opportunity to expose the city, and I really wish we that would have happened.
I agree with you. Indemnifying the mayor for any of his losses in court, I don't believe that. That was in there. I mean, I don't believe it because it's just ridiculous. That much of an approach for that.
All right, well, we're running out of time, so we're going to have to say goodnight, Marina Valley. Thank you for listening, and we will be here next week.
Exactly. Good night, Marina Valley. See you next week.
And thank you for listening.